Hey man, you already know we rocking. We back with another great episode of Bad for the Community. We appreciate y'all tuning in with us. It's Rob the 508 God on the mic. I got Tomo to my left.
Yeah, nigga.
Say East to his left.
Gang.
Yeah, nigga.
Yo, we got Nate Nix in the room.
Hello, how you doing?
Dion in the room as always. And we got some special, real special guests in the building on this week's episode. We got Boston. Best new artist of the year.
Amen.
We got Key. This is his third time. You know, you're not a stranger over here.
Yeah.
But you brought along.
Like fourth time.
Is it fourth?
No. Yes.
So I can't give y'all niggas this shit, bro.
So I feel like the fourth time.
There was no fourth time.
Yeah, when we were doing it at the event.
Oh yeah, now or never.
Facts.
Yeah.
That is fair.
So she's on the fourth time.
Shit.
Niggas ain't tired of you yet.
Never.
Absolutely. But you had to bring a friend on. On this one too.
A family member.
A family member. Let me put some respect. And we got Sadiq in the building. I can't even hear him, but I just know some shit's going on. You feel me? And for those who don't know who Freaky Deaky is.
Oh, that's Freaky Deaky.
Sadiq is Key's manager, and he's been managing her since way back, right? At least
way
a year now, right?
Yes, it's been about a year now. And yeah, December would have been officially about a year.
Yeah.
That's around like the last time he was on the pod. And he was a fan favorite. But
yeah,
you know, a ton has happened since that time. You know,
a year's
passed by. We talked about the awards you won. You got projects that have dropped, music videos that have dropped. And I don't know, what space are you in now from 365 days ago?
Hey, man, I don't know. I feel like it's been like really, really dope to watch. At the same time, it's like extremely like overstimulating in so many different ways. I feel like I'm dealing with how to adjust to all this positivity, if that makes sense. But I'm also like going through like real life shit at the same time. So like, I don't know. It's like, it's hard to maneuver trying to balance these two head spaces. Like I have to come like on in spaces like these and be okay when internally, I'm really
might not.
Not
be right.
Yeah, so. It's okay to not to be. Yeah. You don't gotta put on.
I know.
Anything like that.
Do you feel like you have to maintain that image of like everything's great?
I think not necessarily like an image, but like unlike someone like you have a clothing business or something, like I am my business. So yeah. I have to make sure that regardless of what I'm dealing with, I'm giving people the opportunity to receive my best me. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't even want to do that. So it's really hard to balance. Cause me, I'm unapologetic. If I'm not in a bad mood and I'm not feeling good, you're gonna know. But at the same time, like I can't just do that all the time. So it's a lot.
It's like the position that you're in kind of like prevents you from being able to like show up as your full self sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. The way I've been explaining it is like it's a very like polar experience.
How do you balance it all?
Shit, I'm still figuring
You're
out.
Still trying to
I'm
figure
still
it out.
Figuring out. For real. Like, I don't know. It's like I'm figuring myself out in so many different ways, like as a person, as an artist. And it's a lot to deal with sometimes. Like all the time, actually.
And that is interesting because like from the outside, it seems like, yo, people are showing you mad love. Like you're being acknowledged for how much progress you've made, you know, like the first time you was on the podcast, you spoke on, you know, dropping baby steps and then just seeing the evolution since then, you would think like it would only, you know, affirm and just like kind of just like, yeah, nah, just reaffirm this journey that you're on. And it's, you know, I'm curious to know what's got you feeling that way. Like, is it just life? I don't know. Life-ing?
I don't know. Just my perspective, like, even though there's a lot of great going on, like on our phones, like on my phone, that's where my life, this life lives, unless I'm doing like a live show or doing like, that's where everything is good. But at the end of the day, when I come from these events, I come from these performances and these shows,
like, real life.
Yeah.
Kiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So saying that about like, niggas in Brockton, like niggas be doing like niggas are superstars. You feel me? And then niggas got to go back to like Brockton and deal with the shit that's going on over there.
Yeah.
I said, there's nothing wrong with Brogdon. I'm saying that every day. And so you know, it's the same thing for me too in Boston. You feel me? Where it's like niggas is going through like hardships every day, and niggas have to see like their people like struggling. You feel me? On a consistent basis because of the environments that we're in. It's like that shit doesn't just go away just because niggas is on a stage and niggas is like getting praised. You feel me? That's kind of social media happy, man.
And people think like success is the is what's going to heal them. You know what I mean? Or the money is gonna like erase that hurt. But we see how many times we've seen like people who like from the outside, it looks like everything's great. Like, yo, I would kill to have their lives, but they kill to get out of their life, that life.
Yeah, social media. On the most extreme,
like what are we talking about? And what is his name? The chef, Anthony Bourdain.
The one from Boston?
Bourdain.
Yeah.
He's from Boston? I didn't even know that.
Wait, were we talking about he dances in his videos?
No, he's dead, right?
Oh, no, he be cooking and then like he'll like dance in the middle of like.
But then there was also the dude, what's his name? Who was on
Twitch?
Twitch. And it's like from, you know, the outside and it look everything looks great, but you know, people were going through their own interior like internal battles, you know? And I don't know, is it important that we share those or keep those to yourself? Because like you said, like that Instagram shit is a highlight reel, you know? You feel like you gotta maintain some type of feelings on that.
You know what I mean? Like I admire people who show like everything on social media, whether it's like the good and the bad. At the same time, I know for myself, it's like I don't care enough to show such personal like things about my life to people on the internet. So if I really need to tell you, you'll know. You feel me? So I don't know.
Do you feel like the people who do like share everything about themselves, do you feel like sometimes like they're doing that? Like, do you feel like sometimes it's like faked? That's
them looking to find comfort validation or like, I wouldn't even say validation, but like, I don't want to say pity because that sounds so negative in connotation, right?
Sympathy.
But like sympathy, like it's like them putting out like, yo, like this is me showing I need someone to check in on me. You know what I mean? Or is it that you're just doing it because you know it's going to be engaging and people will engage in it. I don't know.
I feel like it depends on how you look at your social media. For you, you look at it as a business standpoint. When you got to understand social media started as just a way for like people to just like, they might use it as a way to express themselves. It's their diary. It's kind of like Facebook. It's kind of like you just post your status, like how you feeling at the moment type shit. But everybody does it differently. Me personally, I like to do it more so through my art. And then sometimes like it depends on what social media platform. Because on Twitter, I do just tweet most of my thoughts. Shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm a spectator on Twitter.
So it says what's happening?
Yeah.
That's real. I think it's tough too because like at times like you might be going through something that you feel like you might not even have the like means to articulate it. You know what I mean? Like it might be like something that's so kind of like integral to like who you are in this current moment and like everything that you're like and it's attributed to everything that you're like showing to people that it's hard to be able to tell people that this is why this is going on. You know what I mean? Because you don't know, because at the same time, like, as you want to share, like, you don't know how people are going to receive it. You don't know, like, what words you can use in order to make it so that people are not judging you or people understand, like, where you're coming from. It's a lot. You know what I mean? There's a lot of factors that go into it, you know?
And what role do you feel like you play, Sadiq? Like, beyond just being a manager, like, just being there on a day-to-day. Like, what's your experiences been like?
Yeah, I mean, working with Key, right?
Yeah,
so it's like, I feel like I wear a lot of different hats, and I feel like when it comes to management in general, like you have to have a personal relationship. There are a lot of people who are like, nah, you don't have to, it's strictly business, this and that, and being good about setting boundaries. But when you're talking about an artist and, you know, all those external things start impacting them, that impacts the art. Sometimes that completely informs the art. We be seeing like on social media all the time, they'll be like, oh, they just broke up, it's gonna be a crazy album or something like
that. No bullshit, sometimes those like, albums is
heat. People be saying that, but it's like,
that shit's right.
No, like they really going through real life stuff. So it's like, when you're somebody that's close to an artist and you wanna make sure that they feel supported, it's like, yo, you can talk to me, we can find resources that are gonna help you or whatever it is. You know, like, I feel like I have to show up in different ways. Like, we talk about management, but like, I feel like I show up in different respects. Sometimes I feel like a brother. Sometimes, because I'm just a couple of years older than Key, I feel like a mentor.
Or a dad.
So, or a freaking dad. Like, it's weird like that, but it's like, you know, I choose to show up like that. We've done a lot in the way of figuring out boundaries and which things like we're comfortable discussing and we're not. And I feel like there has to be a healthy balance of both. But when you're working in a relationship-based industry, like, this is the first relationship right here.
Yeah,
so we have to make sure that that's straight, you know?
That's real. And I'm not going to hold you. I made a comment either on the podcast or like outside of the podcast or But it really, actually, it was Tomo who brought it. He's like, Dan, and it's not so do you, right? But he's like, everybody's a manager now. You feel me? Like, do you feel that? Like, when seeing the field, like.
I feel that way.
I feel like everybody's a manager. It's like.
No bullshit. I feel that way. And I also, like, I don't know. I feel like it's not something that you can just up and, like, pick and do. Yeah, and, like, that's... not saying that you can't, like, you know, try or, like, you know, try to figure it out. But, like, Sadiq's mentioned this multiple times. Managing someone, like, you're in charge of, like, you're managing their whole career. Yeah, like, yeah. You feel me? So it's, like, you have to understand how much weight, like, you're taking on. And I feel like I've seen a lot of people in our community or just in general, like, I see artists managing other artists. And I personally just don't think that's, like, a smart idea. Just because, like, the conflict and, like, just, I don't know, it's just a lot to deal with. I don't think it's just something that you can just, you have to at least have some type of prior, like, experience. Yeah, or always, you feel like you can add value. Like, you like, as much as Sadiq adds value to me, like, I want to be able to reciprocate that value to him. Yeah. So it's, like, you have to understand, like, what role you play. And I feel like a lot of people think it's just like, oh, no, let me just manage you. Or
so boom, right? Yeah. Because I remember when I read the article in the Boston Compass that was written about you, right? Yeah. You approached Sadiq. Mm-hmm. Why?
Like, my sister advised me. So basically, Sadiq had met me at an event at the Sound Lab.
Mm-hmm. Cookout, yeah.
And basically, he had let me know, like, yo, you're really, really dope. If there's any way that I could, like, support you, let me know. And he had, like, we had seen each other a couple times, and he ended up making me an EPK. Now, I didn't know what an EPK was at the time, or, like,
I feel like most artists don't know bullshit.
Yeah, so I didn't know, like, what that was. I didn't even plan on continuing doing music for real. Mm. So when I seen it, I had viewed it with my sister, and, like, it made me cry, because I was like, damn, like, you don't even know me, and, like, you're putting a lot of, like, effort into, like, just helping me out, like, with no condition, you feel me? So she was like, yo, that's really, really dope. Like, that, I could see that being someone that manages you. And yeah, like, I had brought it up to him, but not like, yo, can you manage me? But, like, if you did you ever consider, like, managing an artist? Like, what would that look like? I think it would be really dope, like, if we ended up working together. And I had mentioned it like 3 times before he actually was
reading that part. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, you know, like, let's see what we can do together before we, like, end up putting anything, like, serious. Like,
kind of paper, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We ended up working for, like, over 6 months, I would say, like, just working and just showing each other, like, what we could do. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we officially established, like, our management relationship.
And how's that on your side, Sadiq? Like, the idea to me of like, you're betting your success on somebody else's success.
Yeah.
You know, that takes a bit of faith, you know?
Yeah.
Because now you're waking up, like, in, like, what's good for me is what's good for them. Or what's good for them is good for me type shit. You know what I mean? You got to wake up thinking, like, how can I make this person the biggest thing in the world? You know what I mean? And what are the other, you know, not requirements, but what makes a good manager compared to, like, the example we talked about of the friend managing a friend, or the artist who's like, yo, I think you're cool. I, you know, whatever the case is.
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say to answer the first part of that question was what Keith said earlier. It's about, like, the reciprocal relationship. So with someone like me, like, my background's in events. You know, when Key and I met, I was still working at Harvard. Like, I was doing events, trying to book different artists. I was doing all types of different things that, and I loved the work in music. You know, like, I've been helping plan concerts since I was in college. I met agents that would fly me out. I get to go to cool events and do different stuff like that. And, like, I was meeting all these different people in music, but, you know, I got this desk job. I'm at all the time in my city. And I'm like, dang, I don't really feel like I can lean into the stuff that I really love to do. So when I fell in with someone like Key and met, like, all the Thrill guys, Cam and Steph and everybody like that, that welcomed me into that community, I'm like, dang, like, I'm actually being given opportunities to engage with these folks and help them along. Not only that, like, all these relationships that I built with people in music and events, like, in other states and stuff like that, there's only so much I can do, because I'm like, I'm not attached to a product or an artist or anything where, like, okay, I might have met this really cool manager or person that puts on shows and stuff, but I'm not an artist. You know, I can't leverage that. I can't do anything. So then when I meet someone like Key, she's super talented, And, you know, she's working, she's hustling, making it happen, like, completely by herself. I, like, see that there. I'm like, yo, we might be able to support each other. You know, I could help
plug you in. I got these connections. I've been, you know, I'm familiar with these things. Yeah,
and I can help plug you in. And then what? We make each other look good, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of how it started. And, yeah, it was just, like, I feel like take to the second part of the question, like, what do you think makes a good manager? I mean, as long as you believe, bro. That's the main piece. Like, if you believe in the people around you and you have their best interests at heart and they trust you, this huge trust is so important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's built. It's earned. It's not like it's just there off rip. It's earned, and the respect as well. Like, what was the other thing I was going to say?
Well, you said it's got to be more than faith, though, or like belief, like, you know, because you have mad faith and zero connections. Yeah. Like, what can you really do for me, though?
I mean, the other thing I'll say is you got to have an awareness.
Like, for some,
yeah. Yeah, like, one of the things with me is, like, I feel like I paid attention to Boston music for a long time, but I was never, like, a player in it. I'd show up at all the events, like, I'd be at people's first listening parties and all that. Like,
how things have changed. Yeah, how things have changed. I said, how things have changed. Even seeing you on, you know, in Bams Fest and you running like the show big. I was like, oh, shit.
It's crazy, man. So much has happened in a year, but, you know, just having an awareness, you feel me? Like, I follow, you could look at my ratio if you go on my Instagram, whatever.
Oh, my nigga.
I follow, like,
it's tapped in.
Yeah, I follow finding, like, low key artists. And I'm going to their profiles. I'm like, Sadiq's followed. I'm like, yo, this nigga sees and knows everybody. Like, what the fuck? Like, I thought I found something new. I'm like, damn, he got
it. We gotta like have like a battle, bro. Who knows the most like low key people? No cap. Because I be the same way. Sometimes I go and I be like, this nigga like Sadiq probably followed him. I look and he don't. And I be like, nah, I got the opportunity. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
To be like, you know, and then like send it out to people because I feel like that's the biggest thing in. Like about those connections that you make is that it's not for you. You feel me? It's not for you to hold. It's for you to like share. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, like, you know what I mean, that I've at least like garnered from like being around you and being around like and like engaging with you in different spaces is that like you're very like selfless in that way. It's like when you build connections, you're building it for like a community. You're not, you know, you recognize that it's like you can like hold all these things, but it's like that doesn't like contribute to anything greater if you're not like sharing it. You like are very like selfless in that way.
That's a fact.
Which I appreciate. I think,
bro,
that's fire.
And I feel like we need more of that, bro. Because when I first like came into this and I was meeting different people, I was like, I mean, y'all seen the videos going around with, like, just no love in Boston, this and that.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's false. One.
I did see an interesting comment on Instagram, though. And I was like, is that the case, though?
What?
I seen a comment where someone said, there's a lot of love, but there's a lot of fake love. And a lot of that fake love is like people showing fake love to be like, oh, I'm supportive, but they really just want to attach themselves to the moment. Like, how much of it is actually
genuine? I said
genuine?
That on the podcast.
That's not
exactly what I said. That niggas want to attach themselves to the moment, or they would just want to just to see if you would make it. So they could be like, I did support.
I was there from the jump. You know?
You know what I think it is, honestly?
And I do want to kind of like go back to that conversation. I want to readdress some things.
Okay. But there's definitely like two things. You want to go into it right now?
Nah. No. Finish what you got
to
say. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, when it comes to that love thing, like, I believe the love is there and it's real. People say whatever they want about fake love. But what I've also noticed is a lot of people, they don't like to look outside of themselves. Thanks. They don't like to experiment. They don't like to try things. Like, thanks. When I came into this and I looked around, it's funny y'all say you feel like everybody's trying to be a manager. I didn't feel like I came across a lot of them unless they like I'd known about them for a while. So, for example, like I remember reaching out and I didn't know if I was going to get a response or not from some of these people. One of the first people that I reached out to once Key and I started working together, specifically because I started working with a woman that's an artist. I reached out to Charlia. Yeah. She was the first person I reached out to, and she told like I had known of her for years. You feel me? I was like, oh, she's attached to Audio Mac and all this other crazy stuff, and you know, she got the company going. I hit her up. We talked for like an hour, bro, and I found out so much, you know, about her background. We got lunch together, like we're friends. You know what I'm saying? And if I hadn't just reached out and tried, I could have just been in my crib or wherever I'm at, like, oh, nobody supports.
You gotta
ask questions.
Like that pride in the side.
Like, I step in this the same way, like, Key asked me 3 times if I wanted to be a manager.
So why the first two?
It was because I wanted to be sure. You feel me? It's a huge responsibility accepting any degree of being responsible for someone's success. You know what I'm saying? And putting their career in your hands. Like, that was huge to me. And I'm like, I want to make sure I'm prepared for that. I have the bandwidth. I can show up for you in the ways that I say I can. You know that's what I'm right, saying? Yeah. And like, I look at things long-term all the time. So I'm like, okay, where do I see this going? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's something that's just like attached to the moment, whatever, I don't care for that. That's fleeting. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I see what you mean to the city. I've been around for years and I haven't heard anyone come out the city sounding like this. Number one. Number two, you're a woman. Number three, you're from the same neighborhood as me. Like her music, I don't know. You know how sometimes in music we'll be like, dang, I haven't felt connected to something in a little while or like whatever, like where is music right now, whatever. I heard Baby Steps, bro, Impressed, and like all the songs she's speaking on there. She's like, I'll be down the street. Like, what's the bar of looking?
I be on my sister crib, my brother down the street, nigga.
Bro, that's the most Boston shit to me ever because my whole family's from here. Like, both sets of grandparents, feel me? Like, 7 and 8 on both sides of my parents, you know? So I'm like, I identify with that. I be on my family's crib all the time. Like, what's going on with that? And we connected and we could talk. And I'm like, I feel connected to this. Like, this reflects my experience. Mm-hmm. And then I got to know Kiana, you know what I'm saying? The person. And I'm like, yo, I really identify with you. This is cool. How could I not want you to win? You know what I'm saying? And I understand it's bigger than you or me. Like, I'm a help push along. You know, I there's this weird rule. What is it? Like 30% of your time with people who are ahead of you, 30% of people who are your peers, 30% of people who are below you. You know what I'm saying? And spend
the other 10%.
33, whatever. Yeah, but it's like I don't know. I feel like there are ways I could help Key. There are ways that we look at each other as peers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's ways that there are people that she'd help me leverage the relationships I have with to move forward. You know what I'm saying? And then that just kind of wanting to be successful in what I took on, I feel like I started reaching out. That's when I was like, I know I need support. I've never done this before. You know, I did kind of do a little bit of management stuff before I started working with Key. But it wasn't with
a recording artist.
Yeah,
it was a
music artist.
It was with a poet, a spoken word artist. Her name is Mia Coleman. She's from Chicago. She's fire. Check her out.
How'd you find a Chicago artist?
Yeah, so we actually went to school together.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, and we were in school together, and I joined Slam Poetry Club, and I heard her poetry.
Oh, you dropping bars? Yeah.
Yeah, that nigga Sadiq, nice, bro. He's the artist
we don't know.
And nigga Fremont Nikki. Yeah.
Oh shit.
So she's hard. And I remember like in college, I was like, yo, you're so dope. Like, I just feel like more people need to experience this. Cause you feel me? We went to Boston College. That's PWI.
Yeah.
Feel me? It is probably like
damn the most
1,000 black kids max. You know what I'm saying? Out of 10,000 people on campus. Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm like, people, I'm from the city. You're not from here. A lot of people who are from Boston, they come on a campus, wherever they are in the suburbs, and they be like, Boston sucks. I'm like, you ain't never been off campus. Like, you don't know, right? So I'm like, people need to hear you. Like, I would be telling her, I'm the type of person I hype everybody I know up. So like, I'll be like, yo, you seen that girl that did Joe Biden's inauguration? That could be you. Like, you're better than her. No disrespect to her. You feel me? But I was like, you're lit. You can be there. Those are spaces you can be in. And let me help you get on stages and, you know, follow your goals because you got to figure out what people are looking for, too. I'm not trying to, you can see things for people all you want.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't see it, but it's like, I can help you.
Think that's a really good kind of like model that you're like exemplifying there, because a lot of times when people get into like these positions where they consider themselves like someone's manager or even like someone's like mentor in different ways, it's like they like are lacking that like kind of like peer-to-peer like eye-to-eye relationship first. And like even like that mean like it's almost like you're like isolating yourself from like the work and you're isolating yourself from like that person and seeing yourself like above or below them. And I feel like that's where like the disconnect comes in with a lot of folks that we see like kind of like get into like managerial positions now. It's like they're doing this, but it's like they never really viewed that person as a peer. You know what I mean? So like the level of care that they might have for them is lacking. It's missing. You know what I mean? So it's like they can't work on like building someone up when they never really had their best intentions in mind to begin with that person as like an actual individual human being. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can I switch gears a little bit?
I was about to ask something real quick. I want to say like, what do you feel like the similarities and differences are between managing like a poet and a musician? And what do you feel like you carried over from your last like managerial
work? The performance element. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit different.
It's true. Me as a force.
Me as a force. Like, I don't have to sit there and be like, you need to rehearse. You need to do this. Like, whatever. Everybody has different issues. You know, like, she might at one point have struggled with stage presence. You know, mm-hmm. once she's in her flow or depending on who she's around, she's going to murder it. It don't matter. But you feel me? Just the encouragement, the confidence, you know what I'm saying, with that, like helping her with that. I feel like it's definitely different when it comes to like on the back end, because, you know, she did, outside of videos and stuff, like it's more like publishing, like written work. You feel me? Like one of the things that I got her into, I remember she did the Roxbury Poetry Festival and she won. You feel me? And she won a book deal with Button Poetry. And so it looks a lot different looking at recording contracts or, you know, or distribution or whatever, anything like that, versus, oh, we need a literary lawyer. Like, what does that look that like? Shit, like, man. You know, I got to go talk to someone at Houghton Mifflin. Like, what's this? Like, who, what? I have no idea. I have no idea. You feel me? Like, I've never published a book. I don't know what goes into it. And then you find out there's a whole bunch of editors and all types of stuff. Like, that's new stuff. I never experienced that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's not the same because a lot of her work is her own. Like, I can't sit there and be like, yeah, that's cool, you should change this. Or she might send me a manuscript and I'll be like, I love this. What's this about? I'm we'll look over it together. And then, you know, maybe she'll revise and revise and revise. But it's different. It's not like I'm sitting in the studio with Key. That's different. You know, it's a complete, we're listening. It's a listening experience, right? It's a lot more ruminative. Ah, I feel like it could be both ways, you feel me, as a recording artist. And I don't know, but those are like the main differences, and the settings are usually different. Like, it's not super lit club setting when they're doing poetry, you know what I'm saying?
That could be lit though.
Yeah, it could.
That could be fire though. Don't sleep on that idea.
What I wanted to know is, like, how do y'all look back at 2022? What's the peaks and valleys? What's the review of it? It's been a big year, but like, is there still more y'all wanted to accomplish? Is it like,
for sure?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I feel like, go ahead.
I just feel like, I don't know. I'm just extremely hard on myself. And I know a lot of people felt like last year I was extremely consistent, or like I did good stuff and I was showing my presence in the city. But I just always feel like I could be doing so much more. Specifically when it comes to like creating my art, because like I'm still like, when I dropped Baby Steps, like that was not only my first time really seriously getting into music, but that was my first time like revisiting just expressing myself artistically, like in a while. Like in high school, I was dancing and I was doing step, and then after that, like it was kind of just like college, like I don't know, and working full time, and I didn't like. My free time was smoking and listening to music and freestyling with my friends. It wasn't anything constructive where I was able to like actually express myself. So even within like my first year or like last year of doing music, I feel like there's so much more of my story that I want to express, and I'm still learning how to express myself and my experiences. There's a lot of more like visual content that I want to do. I feel like that's the most fun I've had within the year of like is creating like my last music video of all the music videos I've made. I only have like 3 out, but I want more. Like I want to do other things. Like I like cooking and I want to do like cooking content.
Talking about it.
I have it.
Have you been updating the thread? Not as much.
I haven't really been doing, like, unless I have to, because I've been doing a lot of, like, podcasts or, like, I've had, like, things to post. Like, I haven't been keeping up with just, like.
Niggas is waiting. That's how long.
Does that ever feel like a lot? You ever just want to sit back and just be like, let me just enjoy life, yo? Or does it?
I don't even know what that looks like. Like, most of my time, honestly, like, is to this. Like, like, I don't work a job, like. All my time is like for this, and even with doing like my music, I'm trying to find like the enjoyment in it. I don't know what I enjoy anymore, to be honest. And it sounds like, I don't want to come on here sounding like all sappy, but I'm just like, I feel like this is gonna be an interview where I'm really just like
real,
like not that I haven't been real in my last ones, but like. It's rare.
Us, come on. We've been watching the journey very intensely.
True. It's just it's rare.
We talk
that
outside
like,
these pods. Like it's real.
It's rare that I talk about like my negative experiences within this stuff, because it's been like extremely positive, but my perception on it or like just my experience in it hasn't all been positive internally or like within myself. So yeah, it does get a lot sometimes.
And I wish I would say like kudos to you, because like just being able to, as everyone has watched Key navigate all of this and do it with flying colors, like even to see it behind the scenes, because I'm with each other almost every day, like literally almost every day.
Literally.
And it's crazy to think about. Like, it was funny you asked about if we felt like 2022 was successful. I feel like Key and I share the sentiment that it's like, not as all, we could always be better.
Like, as you should. Like, every great artist has that in them, that like, it's never enough.
Every creative album ever is content.
It's tough because like, you don't want to, like, so that one of the things that I do so that we don't rob ourselves of the joy of our wins, you feel me, is I'll tell Key, and this is like grounding, right? Like, when we set goals at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, every, right? For the, since we've been working with
you. Do you remember like, what your 2022 like goals were at the beginning?
We had a lot, and like, throughout the year, like, we're crossing like them out, them, like, checking them off.
And whenever Key would get down, I'll be like, yo, Key, look back at our goals. How many of them
crossed off? And it's a lot. And these are goals that we've set for not only myself, but for each other. And I, like, we're set, making the goals, and we're like, get to this. And I'm like, are you sure we could do that? Like, and we did it. And it's crazy.
And
moments
like
at.
That, you got
to
reflect to just, you know, I don't know, just to be appreciative of those moments. Like you said, don't rob yourself of it, because it's easy to just be in that mindset of just like being in a hamster wheel or feeling like you in a rat race.
Yeah.
And especially because we got access to so much on the internet, it's so easy to look at your left and your right and feel like you're not doing enough. But you got to look internally and look at the things that you've done in your past. You know, it's about the journey.
That's interesting, because I don't look to my left and my right. Like, I feel like I'm very never, because like, I'm just so like tunnel vision on like what I'm doing. So I look at myself and I look at myself like I'm not doing enough. Like, there's things that outside of like music that I want to achieve as a young woman, especially coming from Boston, like as like you, the first of like many, like I thought I wanted to be the first like college like graduate, like, and I ain't do that. So
you feel like you can't do that anymore?
I wouldn't say I can't. I just don't have the interest to, because there's nothing in within at least that the education system offers right now that I feel like would align with things that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Because like at the time, like say if I wanted to go to a Berkeley or I wanted to go to the College of Arts, I didn't have a portfolio to even enter these things. I didn't have like a you feel me? Like, it's not, I can't just go in and show my raw talent and they're like, base me off of that. Like, I never had a body of work to like do that, to go into like an institution and learn certain things.
Yeah.
I have like a whole bunch of interests, but I don't know.
But college ain't for everybody, and that's perfectly fine. Like, if you have something else that you got going for you, like, I'm sure your parents during that, like, I'm really curious, how did they feel that night? You know, I remember seeing them at the, when
the BMAs?
At the BMAs, but I even remember like seeing them at Terrible Twos, the listening party, and like I could see how proud they are. And I can only imagine that moment at the BMAs too, where it's like, okay, I might have not given you that college degree, but shit, look at, I promise you, less people got this than a college degree. That's a fact.
If I'm being honest, like, I know my parents are proud, especially my dad, because he has like background in music.
Thanks.
And I know my mom's proud of what I'm doing, but at least, like, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna get personal. Basically, I don't work a job, like I said. So the only income that I get from this is if I'm booked for a show or I'm doing a feature. And I rarely do that because I really take pride in my art, and I'm not just like gonna connect with someone on that level if I don't like resonate with it. So I've been struggling. Like, you feel me? A lot of this stuff, like, I've gone broke, my accounts went negative and shit like that. So there hasn't been a lot that I've been able to provide for myself to at least start my foundation of like trying to go get on my own and be independent, or at least provide some type of like something to my family or my mother who I live with currently. So the other day we were having like some issues with like some bill or whatever. And like, we just got into an argument because I'm just trying to like, I'm like, how much is this so I can figure out how to get the means to give it to you? And I don't know, she was just on some shit and we were arguing back and forth. And then she looked me in my face. She was like, you don't do shit for me. And I do. I know I can't provide for her like financially, but like I try to do my best to give her whatever resources, whether that's food in the house or like I'll come back and like make sure the house is clean or do stuff to compensate for what I can't compensate her. And then I asked her, I was like, look me dead in my face and say, I don't do shit for you. And she looked at me on my face, was like, you don't do shit for me. And that made me feel like shit. No bullshit. So I don't know. Like,
so it makes your initial comment. I appreciate you being raw like that. But
it makes sense
when you're talking about how like you're receiving all the love in the world, but like that love ain't paying my bills. So it's like it only feels so fulfilling. You know, I can understand that.
It's just like,
do you feel like, okay, so how are you spoken about perception and like how people may perceive you as like you're living like a glamorous life when it's really not, or it's like you may be struggling and going through things. Do you feel like there's a need to like take a step back or take a break? Or do you feel like there's a need to like relay that to people that everything's not so like as polished as it may seem?
As for the break, I feel like if I stop or if I do something that's gonna deter me from the path that I'm already on or like put a hold on it, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice and I feel like it's gonna put my life. I feel like right now it's like all or nothing. So
yeah, absolutely. And so what about relaying that so you don't feel like it's like a mask up and like you have to be a certain type of way?
I do want to articulate my experience. I just find it hard to do that. Or I know a lot of people will be able to resonate because I know that I'm not the only one going through this stuff, but being able to just put myself in a space to talk about, like express it artistically is extremely like hard. I can sit here and I can talk to y'all and I can tell y'all, but like I feel yesterday I made a song and that was my first time really like expressing like
I know
my
feelings coming out of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you feel like, oh, my fault?
No, I was just gonna say, you know, like,
yo, it's mad funny when like Tomo's asking these questions, but he probably already know the answer. Like,
do you feel like you know the answer?
To that particular question I just asked, not necessarily. I don't know the full answer, but I would want, like, it's not something I've asked you before. It's like, I want to see what you would say.
What were you saying, Eves?
No, I was just about to say, you know, I think it's important to remember, especially like when you're in a position that you're in, right? It's okay to prioritize yourself. You feel me?
As you should.
You got your life. You got this one life. You feel me? Don't ever do something that's going to hold you back from doing what it is that you're looking to do with your purpose and your intent, because you're going to be, you know, hopefully looking back at your life like, yo, I'm 80-something years old now. I did everything that I wanted to do in my life. You feel me? You don't want to look back and be like, damn, I regret not doing this. I regret not doing that because I was so focused on making other people happy and not prioritizing yourself. You feel me?
Y'all keep it a stack.
Hold on, wait, my fault. But I'm gonna push back on that, bro. Why? No bullshit. Because you don't be getting no fucking sleep, my nigga. And I think like that's one of the big hold on a second.
Yeah.
That's also what I was saying about peer to peer shit. You feel me? You can't be like going around saying shit like that if you're not gonna take care of yourself too. And that's the same for everybody sitting in front of me right now, including myself.
Hold on a second.
You feel me? Because it's very like easy to say all these things, but it's like, how are we implementing these same practices? You feel me?
Yeah.
How are we actually going about this as like a community to actually work on healing? You feel me? On this individual basis, because we say like as an artist, you don't have to do these things. You don't have to put other people first. Put yourself first. Take care of yourself. All these things, right? But then as a community, we encourage ourselves. We encourage each other through our behaviors, right? And through the culture of this scene to be able to like just put ourselves in the limelight and not care about ourselves, not take care of ourselves. So which one is it?
Yo, you feel me? Example.
What are we about to do to actually change that, though?
Because I'll
tell you, for me, like, I know there's, like, hundreds of artists, you feel me, that I've come across, like, throwing my time making music in the scene. And a lot of them don't make music right now, you feel me? And they're, like, way happier after they, like, took that step away from the scene. Because they know that they're like, I'm building my family. I'm doing all these things that, like, are important to me. You feel me? And I wasn't, like, and I was taking time for myself. And that actually led me to understand that, like, this is not something that I want to do. You feel me? And then like people are around them like, oh, what happened to this person? Oh, you fell off, like this mm-hmm. and this. And that's the type of shit that niggas
they don't
get.
Know the story behind yeah. it.
You feel me? And so it's like, which one is it?
And that's what I was gonna say though, right? To Key, like hearing all these things, like, yo, I'm gonna keep it a buck. If you were someone else and you were telling me these things, I'd be like, yeah, stop what you're doing. It's not worth it. Go get you a job. Go do this, blah, blah, blah. But like, you're a star. Like, I've told you this before. Like, the traction that you got, like, yo, and it's easy. And no, it's hard. I know it's hard to, for me to say this, and but you're literally the one living through these things. But, yo, just keep your head down. And I promise, it's a long game. Music is a long game. And it's going to not be, it's not something that pays off in the beginning. But, like, you have that star factor. You already got people who are invested in this shit. It's not like you're a new artist beginning, or you're fooling yourself to thinking like, yo, I'm gonna blow up one day. Like I've seen you on that BMA stage and you be the center of the attention of that day. That day you was like, that was your breakout moment. And you just gotta keep continuing on that track. You know, it's not, and like I said, it's hard to, you know, think about all those like great moments when you have to deal with the day-to-day struggles of that shit and make it make sense to yourself. But like, just keep your head down, keep going. And like, and when you talk about, you know, the community shit, like, we do have that workaholic mindset. And it's like, can we afford not to? Can we afford not to, like, bust our asses, bro, to yes. eventually get yeah. to that point?
Yes.
It's called delayed so gratification everybody, for a reason, bro.
I feel like everybody not, has different capacities to what absolutely. How much you could afford to, like,
facts.
Like absolutely. Alleviate yourself of. But
everybody,
like,
got a price, yeah. you feel me? Like, everything comes at a price.
But to
and
the
if
point
you're
that
not
you
there
saying.
To be able to create the music anymore, what was the point?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be here forever, though.
Yeah. Type shit.
But I'm going to work to the, I'm gonna work as hard as I can to make sure that the legacy I leave behind was fulfilling to me to be like, yeah, I did everything that I
you
wanted.
You also
to
might
do.
Work too much to burn out early, though.
Yeah.
That's a possible. That is possible.
That's a very high
that
possibility.
That is possible. Yeah, yeah.
Nigga, a lot of niggas
wrong.
Burn out early, bro.
You not wrong. The reason why I bring this up is because I think, like, you're bringing up a valid point, Key, in that, like, there's a lot of, like, gratification to be found. At the end of the day, like, that's not, like, sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's the key. It's like, what is the infrastructure that we're building as a community to actually be able to sustain ourselves as artists so that we're not going through this shit? And so that when things come up, we're still, like, able to continue going without feeling like the weight of the world is on our shoulders type shit.
I love that. You know what I mean? Because we talk about this all the time, sustainability, right?
Yeah.
And that was, like, that's our biggest goal coming out of 2022. It's like,
and going into 2023 is making this shit sustainable.
For real. Like, yeah, because, like, I feel like this is not a unique experience to just us. It's like every creator. You feel me? Even taking the management route, I step away from a 9-to-5 and it's like, I want to lean into this. I love this. It gratifies me in a lot of different ways. It's very fulfilling. And it's like, how do we make this something that's sustainable? Because a lot of people, like he was saying, based on perception, they think because you see certain things or we walk in labels in rooms and stuff like that, that means, oh, our lives just changed. No, bro. Like, it's no, work. Not at all. It might just be a conversation. It might be something that don't make no type of sense on the table, you know, because the other thing is all we're doing is trying to keep our hearts intact, bro. Like, yeah, you're sure. Keep your integrity and yeah, make sure it's good. It's good money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to walk into the wrong thing or partner with the wrong folks. Like, the same yeah. way we felt I each think. Other out. We want to make sure whoever we partnering with, even if you're just looking at like a label as a bank or whatever, you want to make sure like somebody on the other side got my best interest at heart, you know? Because otherwise you're just going to be drowning. And God forbid, I'd rather be broke than in debt to niggas that don't like me or don't know me.
Type
you
shit.
Know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you, hearing these things from Keith, do you feel pressure this year to make sure like, if like the money is the biggest thing, like having these opportunities be presented or just like making
I'd
that a priority this year?
Absolutely. You feel me?
That's always been a priority.
It's always
but
been
not
a priority
the money.
For us.
Yeah, like, the money isn't the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Cause isn't it? You know what I asked Key? I said, what happens when money's not a problem anymore? You feel me? What are the issues that we're dealing with right now that are going to persist? Mm-hmm. How are we addressing them? What strategies are we developing to make sure that we can address these things? You feel me? Because there are millionaires that blow their fucking brains out, bro.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's why I don't think about that. I've been broke before. You know what I'm saying? So now that I'm doing things, we have this influence and respect and different things you can't put prices on. You know what I'm saying? That it's like, this phone calls I can make that niggas with money that'll spend 10 bands and make happen. You know, and it's like sometimes you really got to take a step back and understand, okay, where do I stand? How do I like work this situation into some shit that works for me in a way that is true to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not somebody just to step out and do something just for money. That's never been what it's about. Otherwise, I wouldn't invest so much time and energy into the key and the people around me. Like, and it's crazy because I've also like watched a lot of interviews and stuff, and so many like big like executives. I want to say this is Tunji. I don't want to misquote. I might be wrong. You feel me? But I feel like he was like, it's so hard to be a good person in this industry. You know what I'm saying? And like even talking to our,
you gonna get got.
You feel me? And when we started, when we had like one of the first conversations we had with our lawyer, and you know, he was saying like, I just want you to know what you're up against. You feel me? There's people with drug money pouring it into this shit. There's X, Y, and Z. There's industry babies that they've been, you know, doing all types of stuff. So it's like when you step into that, and I see a lot of dudes coming up, step into that and trying to figure out like, well, where the fuck do we fit in this? How does it make sense? Where are we going to get money? Because people be like, I ain't giving them shit. They cool. That's cool over there. But we got our thing going on. We trying to build this up or cultivate this, whatever it is, which I respect. You feel me? Everybody's doing their own thing. But that's why I feel like it's more important to align yourself with good people and understand what they're doing. So kind of to answer your question, Nate, when you was asking like, what are we as a community doing? The biggest thing for me is building that community, holding each other accountable. You feel me? There might be some shit I told, like something that Clark does that I love. Clark, he calls me sometimes just to tell me shit. And I'm like, what you telling me this for? He'd be like, because I want to do it and I need more people to hold me accountable. So he's going to say it and then I'll bring it up like a couple weeks later. I'm like, hey, what about that thing? Yeah. And he'll be like, you absolutely right. Like, and vice versa. Cameron will just call me to check in, bro. I just want to make sure you're doing good. Steph, same deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's important to have those relationships because when you're an artist or creative and you already on yourself, your family's on you, all of these different pressures hitting you from different angles, and you inside eating yourself up about that because you got the highest like expectations of yourself, who's out there that's going to help take you outside yourself and be like, yo, look around. You all right? We're going to get through this. You should maybe do X, Y, and Z a little better, but you feel me? You're not doing as bad as you think. Mm-hmm. And it'd be hard to take yourself out of that sometimes. So that's why, like, even going back to, like, working with Key, got to be there sometimes and be like, yo, look around. You know what I'm saying? It's not just about what stuff look, but it's, like, having somebody who's seen the development. You feel me? And I don't know. I'm, like, ranting a little bit.
Nah, you saying real shit. You feel me?
Facts. Want to say something?
Oh, I was just about to... I feel like we got past the point, but I was going to ask, like, just, like, seeing, like, how we're all saying, like, we see your growth and stuff. Like, do you feel like there's a difference between Key and Kiana?
I don't think there's a difference between, like, who I am and, like, who, quote-unquote, like, Key is presented as. I feel like the only difference is, like, for people, like, I feel like there's a difference for people. Like, I don't know. Like, no. I don't know how to explain it. Like, the only difference is, like, I go home and, like, I don't know, like, people, how people approach me, how people talk to me, like, as if I'm somewhere that I'm not, and or like or have no regard that, like, of, like, who I am, like, or trying to, like you said, like, come be associated with me because what they think that I can offer, but don't know me, or people that I've, like, knew or, like, came in crossing with, like, years ago, like, hitting my phone, like, calling me, like, every week, like, yo, when are we gonna chill again? Like, do you know where I went to school? Do you know where I live? Like, do you know my middle name? Like,
type shit. I think, like, part of it is, like, it's that star thing, you feel me? Yeah. Like, to me, at least, when I think of, like, a star, something that you can see, but you can't touch, you feel me? Because the closer you get to it, like, the more you'll, like, burn up, you feel me? And I think that it's, like, it's the allure of the star that really, like, draws you in.
Niggas want
to
be
in
proximity.
And there's, exactly, it's, like, people are, like, more attracted to, like, the proximity of, like, that, like, star power as opposed to, like, you as, like, a person in that way because they don't know you as a person or because they haven't been around you as a person. They haven't been there, you know what I mean? So for them, they're just like, oh, like, it's the same person, but they don't treat it like the same. Yeah. You feel me? It's, like, because, like, you know, as we know about stars, you feel me? It's, like, the same thing. It's, like, they're, like, burn up quick, you feel me? And then they, like, evaporate and it's like all types of shit goes down, but, like, people, like, are still, like, attracted to that. They're like, word, I want to be able to, like, touch it, you know what I mean? It's like, ah, but then it's like they're not there when the shit, like, falls apart. They're not there when shit's going up. They're like, what's, they're like, whoa, it was
next one, that's the type shit,
you know what I mean? And that shit's disrespectful, I'm not gonna lie. At least, like, I feel like that shit's egregious, bro.
I think
they just can't be living their life like this and doing shit like
seeing
that,
seeing shit, like, I think it's interesting, the whole Key versus Kiana, because like maybe is that where like the frustration, but like where the problem lies, where it's like you feel like the rate of growth of Key is different from the rate of growth of Kiana?
Hell yeah. Like, I feel like, so I said, like, it's growing on this handheld device, you feel me?
Yeah.
My followers are growing, my streams are growing, but these things aren't allowing me to grow. Like, I feel like the most important thing to me outside of, like, me growing in my career is, like, just me growing, like I said, like, as a woman, like, I feel like independence and, like, having my own space is extremely important to me. I haven't had the opportunity to do that. I ain't go to college. I ain't dorm. You feel me? Like, I ain't have that opportunity of space for, like, 4 years or even 2 years to just, like, be. Like, I'm like, you feel me? I'm still dealing with my mother, like, you feel me, bills, or like, you know, I'm seeing my siblings or like my family like struggle in some capacity. I want to be able to not only provide for myself, but provide for them. And like, I don't know, this music stuff is way bigger than me, but like, it's hard to just keep pouring myself into that if like nothing, like nothing's pouring into like the person behind all this stuff. Yeah, so
that's real. And especially at this age too, where so much shit is happening. I remember I was driving back from work and like PSA came on shuffle and like the line hit, it was like 2 degrees, but I'm never falling back on the college shit. I said, oh boy, how that age, like, you know what I mean? And then I'm falling back on that shit. But it's like, but that's the decision that came to. It's just like, I want to do these. I don't want to always be living with my mom. I do want to be able to give my girl answers when she asks, what does the next year look like? And when I was just doing music or just doing the podcast, I couldn't tell her what the next year looked like. The next year, like, nigga, tomorrow we could blow up and life could be different. Or we could still be grinding next year and just waiting on for, I couldn't tell you, because it's out of my control at that point, especially with music too. It's out of your control to a certain extent. All you can do is produce and be there and perform and, you know, do the things that are in your control.
Even then, but it don't mean people can be receptive.
It doesn't
to
mean
it.
That the, you know, like, the streams is still, that's external. The opportunities that get presented to you, I mean, you have a bit of control over that, you know, reaching out to people. But like, a lot of it is like, what can people do for you in those moments to like bring you up? And, and it's so much of it relies on the love from other people, you know? And that's why I was gonna ask too, like, I know we talk about, you know, building up the community and like making the Boston seem bigger and everything. On a personal level, do you ever feel like what's best for me might not be sticking around in Boston, or do you feel like being in Boston is the best decision? Be honest.
I don't know. I have no desire of like leaving or like, I don't know, like just trying to, it, like, so I, this is my logic. I don't understand like the people who are from Boston, like why they choose to leave. They say there's no support, there's nothing here for me, so I'm gonna go to another city. Most of the time it be New York or LA or Atlanta. And they go to these places, specifically like LA, who are filled with a pool of other people who did the same exact thing that they did, expecting like they're gonna like get recognition and love. And I feel like the most important thing is like leaving my legacy here to the place that curated the person who I am. You feel me? Like, it, besides like the music scene, like a lot of like things that build up like my character is due to like mentors or influences I had like at my school or like the community centers. I went to the Tobin, you feel me? I went to the Shelburne. My school is really literally down the street. I went to BLA, you feel me? My family's from here, like
giving the drop.
So like, you feel me? Like I have no desire to up and go, because I do want to expand my influences and like, you know, tour and like visit other places and like have my name out in other areas. But I wouldn't say that there's any other place for me but like here. And I've seen that, like I've visibly seen that within the past like year, like this is where I was supposed to be.
Yeah, I seen you smirk a little, Sadiq. How'd you feel?
It's your answer funny to that question. You know, born and raised here and been here so long, I didn't expect to even go to college here. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just felt like I was here for so long. I wanted to go to Atlanta, be at HBCU so bad. Like, that's what I wanted. I toured. I was like, this is amazing.
Nigga did the opposite of that.
You know, because when it comes down to people, it came down to money. So it's like, it is what it is. And it was a prestigious school. It worked out. I got a lot of opportunities out of it. the thing is, like, I understand, like, Boston is wonderful, bro. Everybody I know that traveled the world, they're like, Boston is clean. I like home. Like, it's great. Like, yeah, you go to LA.
We just hung the phone with a nigga in New York. He's like, oh,
it's dirty, bro. It's nigga. Nasty, bro. Yeah. And like we have some of the best healthcare in the country.
That's what I'm saying.
I was having that conversation. The taxes, if it wasn't for the snow, shit. Massachusetts is very cool, straight. Like healthcare, the school education system.
I don't know about all that Massachusetts shit. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, Boston is smooth. Boston is smooth. Like, you can say Brockton too. Brockton is smooth too. But like, you know what I mean? But all of Massachusetts,
where I rest my head is pretty smooth, bro.
I'm not caving for them Western Mass. I'm sorry, bro. I'm not.
Well, what I was saying, right? It's like about Boston, like. I wanted to leave, you feel me? Sometimes I still feel like I'd be here too long. I got to take a trip. Let's go to New York. Let's go to Maine. Let's go anywhere. But just get me out the city, Miami, wherever, for a little bit. My philosophy is like, I will stay in Boston because my whole family's from here. So like, I don't know nothing else for real. I will stay here as long as I can travel as much as I want anywhere else. And then my base will be here. But
you got a passport?
Yeah.
I need to get one.
Me too. Yeah. Hell yeah. But
have you ever been out the country?
I mean, yeah, but like, I need to get a passport as like an adult person.
Though. I gotta know it. No bullshit.
But yeah,
you get the same one for like 7 years though.
Like, yeah, I was a baby.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but we had a lot of conversations about that. It's like, oh, go somewhere else, because like everybody I talk to, they're like, you need to go to Atlanta. You need to go to this or go to that. Like, I feel
makes
like
sense for business.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Yeah,
but what about outside of business? Like, just literally like being people. I don't think you should live and die in the same place, having relocated at least a couple times.
I hear you.
I like what Sadiq said. As long as you can travel,
I'm talking about even bigger than travel. Like, why not live somewhere else for a couple of years and then you come back to Boston eventually?
Like, yeah, you could get a second house.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm rooting your whole everything you built.
We had a conversation one time, while
there's something to be said for that experience. You feel me? Like, all the people I met, whether it's in college or work, like being in other places, and they're like, yeah, I came across the country and relocated by myself. And I'm like, yo, I have, like, when, especially when I was in college and, you know, I started living on my own and doing all that, I'm like, I have tremendous respect for you. You feel me? To come, put yourself out there not knowing who you're going to associate
with.
You feel me? Figure out your healthcare.
That's a lot.
Mad respect
from a whole
for that.
Country.
You feel me? But for someone like me, especially when I look at, like, creative industries, because I have friends, like, straight out of college from Atlanta, and they was like, yo, we thinking of moving to LA, like save up like 10 bands, you come with us, da, da, da. And I'm telling them,
rent, nigga.
I'm like, bro, I'm looking at them and I'm like, bro, y'all are so talented, you're so lit. I'm like, yo, stay in Atlanta. Your cost of living is going to be low. You got family and other stuff to fall back on, and build your influence in your city first. You can't just think you're going to go to LA and blow up, bro. That's not how it works. There's people on Skid Row that thought.
It happens. It's rare, but it ain't going to happen every time.
And I'm not saying, you know, they weren't capable of that or aren't capable of that. You feel me? But they locked in, stayed in Atlanta. My bro went and copped a house his first year out of school. You feel me? In Atlanta. I'm like, bro, you have a crib. You're a young professional, you're working, and you're making music, streaming crazy, like all that. When you're ready to take that leap, do it, but establish your foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mr. Eves, how do you feel?
What do you mean?
Going to New York.
Yeah, facts.
But not with those purposes, though. The fact that
what
I even have
you're
family
going
over
to
there.
New York?
I plan on moving over there.
Really?
Yeah. It's
up. Wow. But it's different. It's different because I feel like a lot of people go in there because they're, like you said, they're trying to chase something. It's like, nah, bro, I've been going there since I'm like 5-6 years old every summer, staying with family. It's like, I want to live there.
New York's a wonderful place.
You would
want to
live like the rest of your life there?
Nah.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Couple of years.
New York is not a place to live there forever.
You talking about New York City?
What you mean, nigga?
I did not
know
that.
You talking about like upstate or something like what? Buffalo or some shit?
I thought you were just talking about New York. And like, I do not respect that, bro. I'm not going to lie, bro. New York City is dirty as fuck, bro.
I'm trying to be in Brooklyn with it. Nigga, being Jersey is Jersey, you feel me? Like
type shit. That's what I mean. Like, because I'm like, Jersey, I can fuck with Jersey. New York City is
real nice space
right there. That shit is dirty, bro. Them rats is big as fuck, bro.
You seen the video,
with the Bronx?
That shit, huh?
Yeah, with the apartment,
bro. And, like, the rats was taking Bronx. Over.
Yeah, I'm here. That shit.
That shit is like, I can't.
You gotta be like
that. I respect it even more now. Actually, now that I'm like, you know what? Because I'm from not respecting it because New York, but now I'm like, I respect that a lot actually. Because
I would do
the biggest difference is right.
No, I couldn't do that.
The biggest difference is I'm not going there to chase something. I'm just keep doing what I'm gonna be me in a whole different space.
It's gonna be easy.
I'm gonna still be working, you know, off my degree, still balancing, you know, be a creative and all that. So it's not like I'm chasing anything. It's just more so experiencing life in a different.
How, like about you, how do you think 30, you're gonna feel like?
Really gonna be Kaisa now?
That's an ass nigga. I'll never do that.
How you gonna feel like once you're like removed from this community that you already like made your presence in, and like you know, basically like have a family? Like, how are you gonna feel? Like, do you know how you're gonna feel?
I mean, I won't know until I really find out, huh?
Not gonna be the same, nigga. You gonna come back up here? We gonna
forget
laugh
about
at you.
You, nigga.
We gonna be like, oh, who's that?
I'm not gonna completely abandon everything because it's not like I don't have anything that I have here that's built that I need to still be a part of. I may not be as frequent.
What I said is crazy.
Y'all knew I'm gonna come back when I can and try to make it possible. Y'all knew that.
Nigga said he got to be a real guy.
Nigga use this as a stepping stone.
I said that I can't come back.
That's crazy.
Now I know. Niggas ain't really listening to what I'm saying.
Nah, I feel you though.
We'll see how many times he really come back.
Nah, I see what you're saying. You're saying that the shit is there. The shit that's there for you is there for you. And if it's there for you for real, it will be there when you come back. Exactly. I feel you.
You feel me?
It ain't gonna be. We gonna have a new host.
If I come back, niggas like, hey bro, we replace you. Niggas talking about we replace you. You can't come on. It's like, damn, fuck it. It is what it is.
We gotta find a fourth line. That's definitely gonna happen. Sure. You feel me?
But you know, I mean, you know, just on that note, like moving to New York and just moving out of your home city, I will say this goes back to what I was saying earlier. You gotta experiment, bro.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
It's a leap.
You do gotta try.
I respect it. I do.
And I respect anybody that'll like put themselves out there, whether it work out or don't. Like, this is the time in our lives to do that shit. You know,
absolutely.
That's valid.
And I think it's a good, no kids. I got no crazy responsibilities. It's like, why not?
It's a good opportunity just to be able to like explore and see what you like about other spaces too. Because if you know what you like about other spaces, then you might even be able to help come back and build that infrastructure here.
Even when I was in Toronto with my family, I was like, I wouldn't mind living out here for a little bit just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Experience what Canada's like. It's like, yo, why not? Just do it. You know what I mean?
So, nah, for real, like I feel like that's so important. At least that's why I said the traveling piece, because like going to Atlanta, going to Chicago, seeing the different kinds of events they do. Like, that's how Noble and them started up the testing lab off stuff they saw in Atlanta. You feel me? When I seen things, I'm like, yo, we need to do something like this in Boston. Like, why don't we have this?
That's because you a different type of nigga, bro. A lot of niggas see that and they be like, we need this here. They be like, I wish we had this here. And then they be like, I'm about to move here then.
Yeah.
I'm about to just not go back. Instead of being like, yeah, we should have this here.
It
Let's
is an,
go.
It
bring
is
that
an
there.
Undertaking.
No bullshit.
No bullshit. It's an undertaking. But it's like, that's why, I don't know, I'm just so Boston is sickening, bro. Like, I love it. It just is what it is, you
it's
know?
It's in you, not on you.
Yeah, exactly.
So last week, we had that conversation about, like, the whole Boston is love shit. And let's keep it a buck. Some people didn't appreciate where we was coming from. Or
where you was coming from.
Where I was coming from. I don't feel like I was disagreeing. Y'all were disagreeing with me at all.
It was a lack of perspective.
I don't think it's my lack. I think it's the delivery. Because even then, I played it to my girl. I was like, yo, does this sound actually that bad? And she's like, maybe how you said it. You know what I mean? But I still stand on the things I said. But
hey, man, ain't nobody had a problem with the way I said it.
But what I do appreciate, though, right, is that, you know, Bori got on the phone with me and Tomo, and he offered a different perspective as well. You know, because I made that comment like, yo, do niggas be outside? And when I said that, that was meant with no disrespect, but it's a genuine question. Like, because if you're outside at these same events that we all at, then there would be no question that there's mad love in Boston.
Like
you feel
I said,
me?
It was your lack of perspective.
Exactly. So through that conversation that I had with Bori, he's like, he's explaining just the dynamics of being, you know, an artist from the streets. And when your music is tackling those subjects, it's a lot more dangerous for you to even be outside. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, right. You can't afford to be outside when you got to worry about your safety at all times. And you got to look to your left and your right when you're at events and things. And you know, and he kind of separated it like, yo, this y'all are in the artsy scene. That's a whole different scene than like the streets and hood music and shit like that. You feel me? And let's be honest, the reason why there probably is mad love in the scene is because we don't have to worry about that shit. If niggas started coming through and like being in these spaces, they probably won't be as safe as they are now. Let's be honest with you. If you had to worry about like gang rivalries and shit like that, or people having smoke and all that. For the most part, we don't see that because those aren't the people that are occupying like, our space.
Like, I don't agree that it would be like safer. We will see more of that. I think it's, again, it's just the infrastructural thing. You feel me? Like, you got to be able to like look at yourself and look at your people. You feel me? And be like, I trust you. I respect you. And I understand what we got going on. And I'm gonna make sure I accommodate.
Yeah.
That's the key. It's about infrastructure, bro. It's not just about putting niggas in a room together and seeing what happens. You feel me? Because that's how niggas get shot up at parties. That's how all this shit takes place. Yeah. We were just talking about that. If you're trying to build something, you really want to build a space that can like actually feel like a collective community space, you got to get the right people who are involved in all those things and get their input on what that shit can look like.
Yes.
You feel me? That's really what it comes down to, is that the niggas, like, I think, because it's like what he's describing is like, we're in a different part of that scene, but it's like, I be with niggas that are part of the other scene. You feel me? I've like worked with like young people who have been a part of like those other parts of the city. Right. And it's the same thing where it's like, they're like, oh, I don't feel comfortable coming to this shit. And it's like, they start popping out because they know that there's niggas there that are going to like, that care about them and that are not going to like make shit hot for them. And also are going to make sure that if shit is doing that, they have like they have alternative routes. You feel me? They have like precautions. They have, what's it called? They have like safety precautions. They have safety plans in order for them specifically, that's built for them specifically based on their circumstances. But again, what that comes down to is care. And I feel like what you said was careless, and that's why niggas had like took umbrage with it, because you didn't. It was coming from a place of misinformation.
What did he say?
So he said generally the same things that me and Tomo were saying. You feel me? It's just like the perspective of it was a little different because it felt very pointed.
He was just like, yeah, he
no, said no, no,
he
no, no.
Why don't you tell us what you said? Explain for you. What you can repeat what you said.
No. I basically said, like, I also do believe that when people say, "Oh, there's no love in Boston" and everything like that, that it's a bit of a crutch. And I still stand on something. Like, even though I appreciate the perspective that Bori like told me, I also told him, like, gave him pushback in the sense of like, yo, we're not in that era of gatekeeping or where you have to necessarily be in person for everything. It definitely helps to be in person and building those relationships, but you could blow up off the internet, bro. Like, no, there's not too many barriers anymore. There's new barriers, but like those same barriers, like, to make you feel like you gotta pop in your city to necessarily make it is not true.
I feel you.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like there's validity to it. But I also acknowledge I'm not from Boston, bro. It's not like I was trying to play like I was. I literally said in the first 10 seconds
that it came from a place of misinformation.
I want to offer something about Boston too, just in general.
What's up?
I feel like Boston operates in silos. I've seen this in a lot of creative communities, but specifically Boston, like, you got people all over the place, whether that's in their scenes or, you know, you go to Cambridge and they got the folk people or, you know, whatever. There's the different kind of nightclubs. We have like Good Life. Then you got Man Ray just reopened.
Used to have Good Life.
I'm about to say, you know, RIP, right? Jesus. But it's crazy because it's all these different people, you know, and a lot of them don't know how to interact with one another. Which is crazy. Like, I'm like, we
it's
all
that
have,
they don't know how to. They just choose not to.
Yeah. I think it's both. Yeah. I think it's both. Some people don't know. Like, bro, you imagine putting like someone like Bori Rock on a stage at Harvard. They won't know what to do. They might look around, look crazy.
He was saying too that Massachusetts in general is really, really like an antisocial state. Like,
it
in
is.
Comparison to a lot of the states, they don't have that hospitality.
New York is like that. Like, the Northeast
talk about
in general.
Like, how he's had neighbors for 10 years that still don't say hi to him or type shit.
I don't know.
It's the cold, man.
I feel like
it's the cold, right?
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like we're just in a stage of like building community. And at least I feel like when I came in, I came in a very like, I don't know how to describe it. Like a very like,
open.
It's a pivotal time.
Yes, a pivotal. Yes. Like, I came during like a very pivotal like time. And I feel like whether it's in Boston or just we're talking about like Massachusetts, I feel like we're learning and adapting like what culture looks like for us. Because, you know, we have like New York culture. There's culture down in Atlanta. There's fucking culture in Chicago. There's culture in LA, like at least in the creative like communities. And I feel like we're building like that, like what creative community looks like for us and how we can support each other. I do agree, like there's like silos, because I was just talking to one of my friends and he was doing music way before me. Mm. But like the type of music that he makes, like he said I just don't be going outside. Like,
what type of music is it?
I don't know how to describe this type of music, but I just
like
know
the genre.
Yeah, like it's just like,
is it alternative, experimental?
It's not even, it's the content. of what they're talking about. Like you said, when you're a part of other things.
Street shit?
Like, yeah, like street shit, but not really like street shit. I don't know. I'm very oblivious when it comes to street shit, to be honest, especially out here. Like, I know a little bit about what's going on, but like, I don't know what be going on. But yeah, like the way that he said it was like, yeah, like I don't know. I encourage them on like countless times, like, yo, you should pop out to my show, or like, you should go to this event, doing that. And they never show up. And I always wondered why, but I feel like you said, it's like either they don't know how to engage, or like they choose not to. And the reasoning behind why they choose not to, I feel like we got to pinpoint what they like, what those are, and like figure out how to like resolve like what those reasonings or issues might be.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of niggas might not even feel accepted in like those spaces too.
Yeah. I
mean? Not because of anything that they're doing, but because of like the nature of like the space itself and the people that are in the space. You feel me?
Do you think it's easy for us to say if you're in the space, but like from an outside perspective, does it maybe feel clicky?
I mean, yeah. It feels clicky from an inside perspective.
Think so?
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't think it's like open arms a little bit? Or is it only easy to say because it's like...
depends on who you are.
I feel like the
y'all
city
got a
just,
podcast, y'all create connections. Like it's easy for you
to say.
The point
we've been talking about with certain things like, oh, people want to attach you because like the, you know, proximity, closeness kind of thing. Depending on who you are, people will kind of receive you differently.
Yeah.
Because they know like, oh, this nigga's lit. So no matter what, I'm always want to, you know, talk to this nigga or be a certain type of way when I'm around them. So I feel like... Even then, in that sense, like it is clicky though.
He's don't get the hate because, you know, they want
even
flex.
Outside of the creative scene, this is just a clicky city. Just like seeing like growing up and like going to high school and shit, and just in middle school and just seeing all that shit. Like, it's just a clicky city.
Yeah.
So it only makes sense that once people start discovering their artistry and start like working on art for themselves, it'll work in the same direction type shit. What role do you feel like you play in changing that?
Me, like, everybody, when people tell me, like, oh my God, you're like this, like, I'm like, yo, like, I'm a regular person, like, you feel me? Like, the initiative that I'm trying to spread, even though I'm getting a lot of recognition and, like, praise for what I'm doing, I'm not just trying to do that and leave. Like, look at what I'm doing and want to be better than me, or, like, understand that this is also, like, achievable for you, too. I don't walk around, like... remaining humble is like really, really important to me. I don't let all this like shit that's happening like get to my head, like have me have like a boosted ego. I don't let none of that boost my ego. Like, I don't know. I still walk around. I talk to everybody like I'm a regular person. I don't walk around like I'm Hollywood. I may have gotten like best new artist for BMAs, but that don't change like how I move. That don't change like how I treat people. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, I really treat everybody like my peers, like my equals. And if I'm in this and we're in this, nigga, we're in this together. And I feel like that's important. Don't sit here and say you get to like, say if you achieve a certain thing or you get to a certain level and now you sitting here, you in events with us, and you walking around like acting Hollywood or like not saying nothing, like that's what is like feeding the stigma, like, yo, like of that's like
there is
Boston
one thing.
Don't got no love, like, no, that's not the case.
There's one like, thing that I do want to say about that. I'm so glad you brought up the Hollywood piece, because I used to look at it and not understand it. You feel me? Like, we'd be like, dang, they're moving Hollywood. Like, because we try to stay as humble as possible and, you know, be in community and talk to people as much as possible. I don't really feel like we've done anything crazy, but, you know, we appreciate the praise and stuff. But, like, when it comes to the Hollywood thing, I feel like it gets weird for people, because as you start to get more popular, or say you got some traction, or maybe you have a feature with a really big artist or something like that, like, there are more eyes on you, right? And a lot of people, when they're looking at all these different people gravitating towards them, it becomes really hard for them to distinguish who's genuine and who are those people who just want to be close to it. You know
but
what I'm saying?
even when, like, I feel like for me at least, even I understand that's gonna come, like, whether you're in a position like me or not, like, as a person, you're gonna come across people who are genuine and people who are not. The difference is don't try to just determine that in your head and then like move some type of way, like still treat, you know, you can give yourself to people, just understand like how much, you feel me? Yeah. Like, don't sit here and like, act fake, but like, facts. It's like there, you have to understand like there's a balance. Like,
that can be a conversation too. If a nigga be like, yo, my fault if I'm like, you know, if I'm a little like standoffish tonight, you feel me? I'm just like, there's a lot of stuff going on and I feel like I'm not really sure like who has my back in this particular space that I'm in. It doesn't mean that I'm like against you or I'm not appreciating what you're saying to me or anything like that. I'm just like, I'm very like wary right now. You feel me? Like, that's easy to say something like
that's
that.
A fact.
And then I'm like, all right, but I understand, you feel me? And sometimes that can be difficult for people to do because they're like, it's hard to articulate.
That every time. You have to express yourself that every time. It's like, yo, like, I'm looking at you like this because I don't know what type of nigga you is. It's like,
it's hard to articulate sometimes.
Look, I think communication is key.
Exactly.
It is.
Because otherwise, then you gonna, like, if you're not able to do it, then at some point you're going to have people that are going to like look at you differently, and that's okay.
And that's hopefully what I think those people would give grace. Okay. Like, we talked about that last week, like giving people grace. You don't know what niggas is going through,
that's
or whatever the case is. Like, don't assume just because of that one moment, like that's their character. Like, naturally, you are going to be less accessible.
And not like, I feel like that's something that like I'm just aware of or think about a lot because there's sometimes that like I genuinely just don't want to talk. Like, I want to be able to pop out to events because I want to support like the people that are in support of me. But like, I just want to support. Like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to do that. But then I'm like, I don't want to be looked at like a certain way. Like, oh, she's acting Hollywood today, or like she's, you know, like I'm human too. So that's something that I struggle with. But one thing that I like, I at least try to communicate. Like, yeah, I'm not in the mood right now. I just want to sit here. Like, I'll chop it up with you later. Like, right now is like not the time. Like, just being like articulate about like the space that I'm in, because I don't know. I just, my character and like the role that I play is extremely important to me. So I'm like, I don't want people to analyze my actions or what I'm doing in the wrong way. Or like, I don't want people to think that like, I don't know. I just don't like want people be like, oh, you Hollywood now, you're not responding to my DMs.
One BMA
like,
award, now you think you didn't.
Yeah, like, or like, oh, you didn't see my DMs. I'm like, yo, like, to be honest, like, my DM, like, on some real shit be a lot. Like, you feel me? Just a lot of people who genuinely just want to, like, ask me questions or, oh, I have this opportunity, or just people just trying to dick suck no
don't
bullshit.
Take it personal.
Niggas do be sucking dick out here, bro. That shit's bad.
No, we ain't got both.
I was about to say.
No, actually, we got one question.
What? Oh, wait. I think, like, to the point that you're also trying to make, that I think is, like, I want to emphasize also is, like, because I think, Rob, you mentioned, like, that idea, like, grace as well, is, like, giving people grace and stuff like that, is that, like, we also have to be, like, cognizant of, like, the situations and circumstances that are going on in our society, you feel me? Just because we're in, like, an artist space doesn't mean that niggas is not still black, doesn't mean that niggas is not still getting profiled, doesn't mean that niggas is not still getting arrested, doesn't mean that niggas is not formally incarcerated, does not mean that niggas is not in the streets still. And so, like, I think, like, to all this, like, all these points that we're trying to make, is that when we like interact and engage with people in the space that we have, it's like we have to be cognizant of what people are existing, what type of lives people are living, so that we can like protect them, so that we can protect ourselves, and so that we can all be able to grow together. Feel me? It starts with like being able to first have like a care to even like be informed. And I mean, at the very least, so that we're not approaching people in a way that feels disrespectful to them. And like this part can be cut out in particular, but it's just a matter of accountability on our end. As like, as far as like us being like on a podcast, it's like, you know, from that Body Rock interview that we did, you feel me? You was asking a lot of wild questions. No bullshit.
No questions.
And I spoke on that because you was asking like, what's the wildest thing like you saw in prison? Stuff like that.
That's not a wild question.
That is a wild question for someone that was recently incarcerated, bro. Because a lot of times they don't want to talk about that experience because they're working on reintegrating themselves
and
into the society
is,
that we
and,
have.
And what I would
us.
Hope in that situation is, one, I hope that I can't speak for the person, but I'd hope they not taking offense to it. Like, yo, this person's just curious. And in that moment, that's why we got to be, like, we got to communicate. If that person says in that moment, you don't feel comfortable answering that question, oh, I don't like thinking back on that, and like, cool.
It's also a matter of, would you ask him that in a regular conversation opposed to have been asking him that on the podcast?
I'm going to ask you whatever.
No, I'm saying like, would you
if
have
anything, you're less
that
likely to ask somebody something on camera than afterwards.
The reason why I bring this up though is because I think like it's just important for us as like community members to like treat each other with respect. And that means being cognizant of the things that we probably should and shouldn't say to each other at the same time, given each other circumstances. That's what I'm trying to say.
I will say, that was just an example. I think, you know, we all should carry a certain level of awareness, and but at the same time, people aren't going to know what your barriers are until you boundaries. Say them.
Or like
your boundaries,
or like,
until you tell them.
Or you can give the opportunity.
We're not mind readers.
Like, to be like, yo, I have this question, but if it makes you uncomfortable or you feel some type of way, feel free not to answer it. Yeah. Like, you feel me? It can be a like awareness of what not to ask, or even if you want to ask, like, give them like the space to be like, you know, if you're comfortable or not. Like, this is just something that I'm genuinely like curious about.
Sometimes you might even pick up on shit like social cues. Like, I'll notice I might do something and it might make a person feel some type of way. And then I'll notice that in the moment and I think about it. And then maybe like, whether it be 20 minutes or an hour, a couple hours later, I'll go up to the person. I'm like, yo, I peep what I did or what I said. Like, you reacted like this type of awareness. Shit. It's being aware of yourself and how like what you're doing affects the people around you.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it's all that and just knowing how to have conversation without being invasive. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't know. They don't have that social skill to understand, like, how do I conduct and have this conversation with you without asking too much out of you? You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, that's a good point. It goes both ways.
Over the course of your journey, like, what role did, like, faith and God play into your creation of your art and just stuff like that?
That's a great question.
Because I just being in church with you and seeing how important all of that is to you and everything, and just, like, just through speaking with you, I want to know, like, what role do you feel like it's played in your journey and, like, in your art?
Yeah, you when you performed in, with the Van Buren at Paradise Rock, you like came in with like a book and you were, you know, praying with people. What was it necessary like in that moment?
Yeah, I was praying with them. I was praying for them. I wanted to do it in like a non-traditional way, so I didn't feel like, I don't know anybody's like religious background, so I didn't want like people to feel uncomfortable, but I just wanted to give them some like words of encouragement. That's just pray for them. And they didn't necessarily have to pray with me, but be able to have that energy in the room was something that I wanted to do. To answer your question, I feel like faith, not necessarily in God, but especially in myself, played in like a big role in my journey. Because there's been a lot of times where, shit, I ain't even believe in myself. And even now, like, sometimes I don't even believe in myself, but I feel like even when I don't have faith in myself, that's when I turn, like, to God, and that grounds me a lot. Going to church played a big role, like, throughout this past year. I started going to church in March of 2021, and I didn't grow up in the church. Like, my dad didn't, because he was working full-time. Like, that's not something that was important to him. Or I can't even speak for him, but that's not something that we did. And my mom, like, I just grew up seeing, like, her, like, try to find herself, like, do these different religions and stuff like that. So I necessarily didn't have, like, I just didn't have a relationship with God. So I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that love looked like. You know, I didn't know what that experience was. So when I decided to go to church for the first time, like, independently, It just, like, in that specific service, I don't know what was said, but it felt like I never felt so relieved to hear, like, those words, or, like, to feel how I felt. Because the church that I go to is a Christian church, but it's not, like, traditional where you come, like, in, you gotta have, like,
denomination.
I don't know. But I just know, like, you don't got to come in, like, suits. Like, it's not like, you know, it's like there's structure to it. Like, it's really open and accepting. And a lot of what the service is composed of is just praise and worship and, like, music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why I was drawn to it. Because, like, they were singing songs and, like, they knew the song of the words. And I was just absorbing everything. Like, I ain't know nothing. So I'm just sitting here just seeing how everybody else is impacted by it. So, like, even when I'm not in church, like, praying or, like, asking questions to God, or, like, just at least just having the belief that everything's going to work out, like, has blessed me in so many ways I can't even really explain. Like, all this stuff, like, I ain't asked to receive. Like, it wasn't a goal of mine to be on the BMAs. It wasn't a goal of mine to keep doing music and tour and do all these performances. Like, I just truly feel like once I went to church, that, like, I was just called to do what I was supposed to do. And I've seen a bigger, like, purpose for doing music. Like, it's not just to perform. It's not to get attention. It's not just to have fun in the studio. Like, I feel like I'm called to influence. I'm called to make a change and impact and leave my legacy. That's important. Like, if I die, whether that's tomorrow, whether that's 3 years from now, whether that's when I'm 90 years old, like, I just want to be able to leave an impact and have, like, have, like, I don't know, have, like, just affected people in a positive way and left them with a good experience. I feel like that's why my character is so important. Like, yeah. I just want to mean something to, like, myself and my community in the world. So.
You will, and you are.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's hip-hop.
That is. I really wish it. Tomo, yeah. Question for you.
What's up?
What has it been like? Like, what experiencing this firsthand and, like, being in a relationship with another artist? Has it helped your art? Or is that not really the focus during the time y'all spend together?
I'm interested in the answer to this question.
I feel like we both push each other as artists and just as people in general, you know? It's been really interesting and dope just, like, seeing, like, firsthand, because, like, people always see the finished product, but they don't know how much work goes into it. And, like there'll be times, like, how she was saying, like, she'll be doubting herself. And I'm like, nah, you got it. You feel me? Like, just keep doing what you're doing. Like, whether it be her working on a song or trying to execute a vision. And I'm like, yo, if you quit, then you lose. You feel me? Like, if you quit, then you fail. Like, if you quit, then you can't win. Mm-hmm. It's okay if, like, all right, you fuck up. You ain't get it that time. But that don't mean that you're not going to win. You feel me? You just got to keep going at it. And so seeing, like, her growth over the year is just crazy, no bullshit, and it's inspiring. And so, like, yeah, just being an artist too and being able to have, like, experience being an artist and being able to give her advice about certain stuff, and then just even through her learning things and her experiences, I'm learning through her as well, you know? And it's just, like, comes down to, like, pushing each other. Like, if she sees me pull up and I have, like, certain stuff I got to work on, she's like, yo, she's like, do this. Like, do this before we, like, go watch a movie or something. I'm like, I bet. And I'll try to hold her accountable as well. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How do you feel? What's your perspective on it?
I feel like because we're creatives, this is the most, like, intimate, like, relationship I've had, because I feel like he's able to understand me on certain levels that people have, like, my own parents or my family or even Sadiq is able to, like, get. Because I know even though these are experiences are new to me, a lot of the times the shit that I'm going through, like, you've experienced before. So, like he said, like, just being able to hold each other accountable. And like I said, with tying into the faith thing, when I don't have faith in myself or, like, I feel disconnected from God, like, he's someone that grounds me a lot and, like, pulls me back to reality. And I feel like, whether it's Tomo or, like, Sadiq or, like, you guys, like, it's important that I have you guys a part of my journey. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I just feel so much, like, love, like, unconditionally. I feel like with our relationship, I've learned what, like, unconditional love looks like. Because, you know, things aren't always good. And if it was, like, that's not normal.
And that isn't normal. You know what I mean? Maybe in the beginning, but, like, you know, eventually.
Yeah. But, like,
but that's what makes a relationship, yeah, to be honest.
He's shown me a lot of, like, grace and understanding and things that I've never been, like, exposed to before. So it's just been a really beautiful, like, a beautiful experience, honestly.
Man, I'm happy to hear that, for real.
I have a question.
That too is hip hop.
This one's also for you.
Okay.
So we know we've had, like, a really dope year or whatever it is. We've been on the receiving end of a lot of praise. You know what I'm saying? If at this point, after, you know, going through that journey that was 2022, who are some people you would give flowers to in this moment?
Topo Chico.
Shout out to the sponsor. Not at all. But people, I will say, whether it's influencers or people that have been active in your journey.
While she's thinking about it, enjoy this shot of me drinking this Topo Chico.
Refreshing.
One person that I would like to give flowers to, and I feel like I haven't articulated this to them enough, but definitely Clark. Clark has played a very, like, important role in my journey, honestly, to be honest. The reason why I have Logic on my computer is because of Clark. The reason why, like, I think the way that I think now is because of Clark. I remember there was times at the beginning of my journey, like I was still working a job at the time, and I would come to him like when he was still here, and I would be like, "Yo," he's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Yo, I'm stressed. Like, I'm broke. I'm not making enough money. My job is stressful. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be at my house." And he was like, "Respectfully, as your friend, I hear you. I love you and I care about you, but you're not coming to me as my friend. So as me talking to you, I really don't care about all of that shit. No bullshit. Those are just excuses." And he's, all I have to say is that he wasn't being fucked up, but he was pushing me to, mm-hmm. to just to be like better, be greater. And he's still to this day, like, we don't talk as often as I would like to. And, you know, he's like thousands of miles away. No pun intended. But, he shows up for me like all the time and like calls me and holds me accountable and like is always showing that he's there to support me. And it means a lot because I don't know if a lot of people knew this. I went to school with Clark. I went to high school with Clark. And I seen him in the beginning of his journey, like when he's performing that pep rally, like, and I'm dancing with him, like, because I'm like, whatever, like, it's crazy how life went 360, like, at least with our personal, like, friendship and our relationship and just seeing where we're at now. I definitely want to give flowers to Clark.
Shout out Clark,
I feel like he plays a really big role in Boston music today.
I think we all have our own personal experiences. Like, we went to school with them. We went to college. Like, my first song on, like, SoundCloud was like with Tomo and Clark.
G-Berto,
you know, like Dion was Clark's roommate. Like, this a small world. No bullshit. Yeah. You know? So,
damn. And if I was to give flowers to someone who isn't an artist, I would say I want to give my flowers to my dad. I feel like he's living through me as well, and this is the happiest I've seen him like be like of me or like even like with music in my entire life. As a kid, like, I remember him indulging in it and like, you know, doing his thing, but the fact that I'm actually doing it and I'm being successful at it. Like, I've seen him, like, I look at him, I see the light in his eyes. Like, it sparked a flame back in himself. Like,
you ever caught him like cooking up again?
He'll call me on FaceTime and then like he'll just be like, this stuff moving, like, I just got my new NPC or I just got my new monitors today.
You gonna hop on one of his beats.
Yeah, and my little brother produces too. So it's
he nice too, no bullshit.
Yeah. So
I'm just, sure Tomo, you know, give him a hand if you ever need help, right?
Like, I just know he's really, really proud, and just the fact that he's still like doing what he's doing means a lot to me. And I just want to see him grow. I be holding him accountable, like, you got all this shit, but have you cooked up today? He's like, no, I ain't got a chance to play around with it. I'm like, well, when you gonna do it?
Type shit.
And he does the same thing. Like, he'll call me every day, like, you got a new track? And I'm like, nah, dad, no. He's like, it's okay. You know, just keep, all he tells me is just like, just keep making music. Like, I don't know. I'm like, he says it so much, I might get it tatted. Like, keep making music. I don't know. But like, Clark and my dad are like two people I would like to give like my flowers to. They're definitely important, like, people in my life.
You got the clap it up sound effect or anything? Come on.
It's a different set.
That's just good. No bullshit. But nah, it's been a real like dope conversation that we've been having, and I think that really is just the moral of the story. Like, this shit do get tough. And you're going to have obstacles in your way. You're going to have doubts and everything. But, like, don't forget about that just genuine, unconditional love that you got around you, you know? Not everybody has that.
Yeah.
You know? And just, we're all rooting for you, you know? And I'm really, you know, and that's the biggest measurement of that success is when you look back a year from now, when we last had you on a pod or whatever the case is, look how different shit is. Like, maybe shit is... it's maybe some things are still the same, but a lot has changed. And I'm excited for when we have the next conversation and you hear, hopefully it's not a year, hopefully we don't gotta wait that long, but whenever it is, that we could look back and be like, damn, remember when we was having that like real raw conversation? Like, wow, look how different life is now. You know, sure. And I hopefully we like we get to that point and everything is worth it, you know? Cause it's just like, yo, I always say like, if someone just spawned you to the top of the mountain, you're not gonna appreciate that view as much. Yeah. But if you was climbing that shit for weeks on end and you was starving and you was cold and your hands started hurting and shit, but like once you did finally reach that mountaintop, you gonna really take it all in cause you understood like what you had to do to even reach that point.
And then after that, you know it's gonna be a valley and then another mountain.
That's a fact.
Life is mountains and valleys, nigga. You feel me? Real shit.
I heard that.
Is there anything?
Like, niggas say hills and valleys, but it's really mountains nigga. And valleys. You feel me?
I always heard mountains and valleys. Peaks and valleys. It's peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys.
You're getting at the very top. Yeah.
Is the valley just a
Widow's divot? Peak?
Yo, speaking of which, we got another question. He said, damn, who's Sadiq's barber?
See what we be dealing
trying
with.
Trying to say crisp.
Shit. These Dominicans, right?
He tweeted about it. I told niggas Dominicans be valid.
Right across the street from the Common Square Library.
It's called La Laura now, but they used to be called DeSoto's. I used to live on that street when they first Tory opened. Street, and there was two people in there with two chairs. Now they got like four or five of them and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And
my little brothers and my dad go there.
Yeah. The get Laura. Crispy. The Laura. It's crazy. Yeah, tap in with them. They're all great. They send
any
all
more
their
questions
cousins
on
to,
that shit?
I wanted
nah,
to say.
You should have shared it on your side.
Why?
I bet if y'all if you shared on your story, it would
man, you should have. You ain't tell me. You ain't sent me the clip.
I want to give, if not flowers, then definitely some shout outs real quick. Because I feel like there are people that really helped me along. Shout out, so much love to Cam and Steph, man. Because without them, I wouldn't have met any of you guys. I wouldn't have met Key. I wouldn't be with any of them. Like, shout out to those guys for welcoming me with open arms. Shout out Shelly. She's lit. Rob. Put some work. That man. Early on, like, he's somebody who offered a lot of insight to me and still does occasionally. And I appreciate it because he's been doing this way longer than me. Similar, like, as Charlia, way longer than me. And, like, for someone like me, they didn't have to take any time or extend any opportunities or resources to me, and they did, you know. And I'm eternally grateful for that, and I just really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got some good people in the scene, bro. No bullshit.
We do. We really, really do. Dang, I'm trying to think. I don't want to leave nobody out. Those are like the main folks.
Those who for you know you.
Yeah. Feel me? Like y'all know who you are. I'm just like.
Bad for the community,
right?
Niggas ain't too bad either. Yeah, I'm not fucking with y'all.
Yo, I got a funny story to tell you, Sadiq.
Yeah,
when I first met you, I really did not fuck with you.
Really?
Whoa.
The first thing that you ever said to me, like in my entire life of like knowing you, right? You walked in the throw, and niggas was watching wrestling. It was WrestleMania. You feel me? It was like April or whatever. And he was like, "Yo, who's watching this shit, bro?" He's like, "What the fuck is this, bro?" He's like, "I was like, no one answered." So he just looked at it. He's like, ah, see, like right there, like that's that shit, bro. This is that fake shit. Like, who be watching this, bro? This is why I don't watch that shit no more. And he just went to the other side of the room. And it was like maybe 5 minutes later, we're like, yeah. We're like, yo, we're like, what are we doing in that room? Somebody's in there watching fucking wrestling, bro. Like, this fake, like, and it's like, not even like it's some fake WWE shit, bro.
They had the art in their hands, just like.
Nah, nigga, I was just sitting there. I was like, yo, whoever that is, fuck that guy, bro. Like, who the fuck is this nigga, bro? You know what I mean?
That's funny, bro.
But that's the power of, like, you know what I mean, community. You feel me? It's like,
yeah.
From the brief interaction, I was like, not rocking with it. And then, like, shortly after, it was like, yeah, rocking with you. Heavy. You know what I mean?
Appreciate that, bro.
Now, you a dark connector. You got shit moving, shit shaking, bro. It's great to even see, you know, people acknowledging the work that you put in there. So,
for real.
Appreciate y'all coming through and sharing that story. You know, they see music videos, they see what y'all got going on, but to like give them that behind the curtain, I know a lot of people will appreciate that and probably support even more now because it's like how much that support means.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, shout out your cash tag. Make sure, nah.
I thought you said your cash tag. If you want me, my cash app is $ Kiwini, KEIWEINEI, Kiwini.
That's funny.
That's my cash tag.
Tell us if it works, because then we can start shouting out our own cash tag.
There's one really important question that the streets have been asking.
Okay.
And we need to figure it out.
Okay.
I have an answer.
When is Keyed Cuisine coming out?
Keyed Cuisine.
Man, so, all right. So this little, right?
Wait, can I tell you something before you say this?
What?
I always had like this idea of a cooking show. You feel me? Like a Bad for the Community cooking show.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted you and Dirty to do it. Like a little cook-off.
I'm with it. I'm trying to cook with Dirty and then cook with Dirty.
But Nate was kind of sleeping on you. I'm not going to hold you. Nate was like, she's not really a chef, though. Like,
because you got to understand, some niggas actually are licensed as chefs, bro.
Yeah. Yeah,
so?
Like, this nigga Oliver is a chef,
just
because
you don't go
bro.
To Berkeley, that don't mean you're not like, a musician.
Berkeley isn't even... Oh,
I feel what you're saying. It started off bad. The reason why I say that, though, is because, like, you're trying to have people, like, in competitions with each other. So I'm like, what if we get a nigga that's a licensed chef in there? And it's like,
you still might be able to out-cook him.
You ever watch those?
Because they know like
the chamber, but
no. There's this YouTube series where they have like an amateur chef, like a master chef, and like whatever,
and
then they cook the same
thing.
They cook the same dish. Yeah, like it could be something like that.
It's not a competition.
It's not a competition though.
That's
what they judge it at the end.
No. They try it at the end, but they just like show three different ways of how they cook one dish. Like three different ways.
It would be a competition.
Yeah.
Facts. And if they judged it, obviously the nigga who is the fucking professional chef
that might not be
obvious. That's not obvious.
Nah, you don't be seeing those videos, bro. Have you ever watched one?
It probably is.
I do be watching.
Bro, the professional chef gonna put like an ounce of food on my plate, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
We doing some reaction videos. Say, let's react to that shit.
React what to shit? What? Some cooking shit?
Some cooking shit? Yeah. But I love to do that.
I've been saying that.
I'm going to watch MasterChef Junior.
He's like, man, fuck these niggas, bro. Every time niggas here, niggas don't want to do it. I bring it up. Now niggas here. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Right.
It makes sense. Key on some, you know, her cooking shit and everything. Let's make it happen.
But yeah, I already made the page. It's Keyed Cuisine, like Kid Cuisine. I had it as like Chef Boyard Key, but some bitch already had it. It's some bitch ass shit. But yeah, it's K-E-I. The Cuisine, and I have a Twitter and Instagram, but I had recorded a mukbang review to some Wingstop, but I don't know, I want to record it ASMR style. Like, I want my content and to be like unique, so I don't know, I'll probably start off maybe like, I don't know, I want to try new restaurants locally. Like, I want to highlight like restaurants that people haven't really tried or like know about in the city, or like they don't go to. So
that should be busting on TikTok too.
Yeah. So
we doing food reviews.
When it comes to
that's how I'm about to start finding my food spots.
Yeah, when it
now,
comes to just posting like the actual content, like I'll just like just the photos and stuff, and like describing the dishes and what I think of it. As soon as I try a new restaurant, I'll do it. But when it comes to the review, like I just want to make sure I want to have
so
this
fire,
setup.
Especially once you start touring and all that, you're going to different cities, different places, document all that shit.
Yeah, and a lot of restaurants out here. Nice, chips, and they just give you free food
out here.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants out here.
Like the chain restaurants, like restaurants.
Nah, just like restaurants in general. Like these, like smaller ones. Like all, like a lot of them are bad, but a lot of them are really, really good. Yeah. And I feel like because it's so like oversaturated, in my opinion, with like bad eats, like niggas be like, I'm not going. I don't want to eat here. Like they'll go to like very specific spots, and that's it.
Yeah,
I'll be going to some spots, bro, and the niggas see it, they be like, oh, this shit not busting. I'll be like, you're bugging. I mean, I'll be like, that's because you don't be in these spots. You feel me? Like there'll be mad times where I like tell niggas about some shit, they be like, man, and then they eat it, they be like, no boy.
Now, what's that spot you put us on to? And is it in Malden? It's the
what spot?
You, I feel like you were there at
which one?
It was
the chicken
like,
place.
Yeah,
I don't think Nate.
That was not me. I don't be out there.
I don't. He. It was. It's by the stew. It's by the stew. It's by AM.
It's by AM and it's a
chicken.
And
that might have been me. That was definitely you, bro.
There was it's the chicken spot. It's like the bar too, and then like after a certain time,
La Posada.
Like,
yeah,
La Posada.
That was me.
That's not a chicken spot.
Nah, yeah, it is, bro. Yeah, it is.
La Posada. I mean, they sell chicken, but it's a Mexican store, bro.
Yeah, but if you order it online, like they have like a separate site for that.
Oh, they got a ghost kitchen
type shit. Yeah, that was me. Yo, no bullshit, nigga. Shout out to La Posada. La Posada.
If y'all made it this far, make sure y'all like, subscribe, show some love in the comments, and tap into what Key and Sadiq are doing.
If you made it this far, comment Topo Chico bussin'.
Topo Chico. But yo, someone actually commented on the Topo Chico page. Real niggas.
That's like good. Niggas. Keep that going.
Keep
going,
exactly. Trying to get those sponsor right here. Again,
we appreciate y'all. I'm so excited to see the growth.
Thank you. I'm excited. Wait, I have one question before you. What are y'all goals for 2023 with Bad for the Community?
These niggas don't want us to share the podcast goals on the podcast because they're scared of accountability.
We never said that on the first episode of the year. I said we should talk about the goals, and niggas like, no.
Yeah, don't say them on camera. So what the fuck are niggas talking about? But this nigga, you said it too.
No, it had more to do with
it. Yes,
it had more to do with the upload schedule. Like,
bust out the phone right now.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So one of the goals is that we're gonna drop an episode every week.
We have.
No, you haven't.
I don't remember being against that.
That 1 week, it was a reaction video.
Watch the episode.
We dropping content, nigga. That's all that matters.
Okay, we said we're gonna drop an episode every week.
We dropping content every week.
No. That's content. Not the goal. That's not what it says. Stop doing that. This is accountability.
So,
right?
So is it content or is it an episode?
It says a podcast episode.
So four. Revenue streams from podcasts.
Wow.
Merch, 1,000 YouTube subscribers, sponsorships, live events.
Road to 1,000.
Host mutually beneficial guests. Create structure that is implemented and followed through on by all team members.
Mm.
Release one episode per week in 2023.
One episode per week.
Expand beyond Massachusetts.
Mm.
Solidify and or expand our working team.
Spit. Mm.
Solidify guest selection process.
Pause.
Spit.
Give Tomo a bin every week.
That's not on there. That's not on there. I would have remembered that.
We still waiting for you to bring the chicken, bro.
Yo, La Posada, bro. No bullshit. I'm telling you.
We need to get the La Posada sponsorship.
Literally, bro.
Pop out to La Posada, though, for the Taco Tuesdays. No bullshit.
No
you can get
kidding.
Two
they
tacos and a
margarita.
That's what I remember you getting, the margaritas. That's what it was.
Bro, that's just boom. Tuesday.
I think they got meatless Thursdays, too.
And they do tequila testings.
Creating their lunch plans. All right.
That shit was boom.
We'll talk about this off cam. Again, we appreciate y'all.
We can't show love?
Not until they sponsor us.
We gotta talk about it first.
Yeah,
show them that we know.
Shout out
Poseidon. Paying attention.
No more than 10 words.
Nigga.
Hey, man, we out of here.
Yo. Nah, niggas are food.